Yes, good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And yeah, it's the 21st of the 7th month, 2025. We are progressing deep into the year. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's a very beautiful Monday morning. And wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you from Eagle FM Namibia. And yeah, as it has always been the case, this is your program or conversational program that we look at current conversations related to economic development, conversations that are related to social development, conversations that also are related to everything that has to talk about bread and butter issue. And yeah, we have been always saying, as long as Namibia is where it is, we'll continue speaking. And we also continue bringing about those constructive conversation and to make sure that we contribute positively to the development and advancement of our country. Yes, some of you are on your way to work. Some of you are already at work. Some of you are going home, returning from work. Some of you are in the gym and some of you are still sleeping. But we always like to indicate to you to say, you know, whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. Do it with the best of your ability in order to make sure that at the end of the day, your effort is paid, or at the end of the day, your effort is valued. And yeah, especially this morning, it's always very important to, every time that you wake up, ask yourself this, what is the most valuable time that you spend, and what do you spend most of your time doing? And do you spend most of your time in variable conversations, or do you spend most of your time at the gossiping zone, or do you spend most of your time with unproductive or doing unproductive conversations? Because we're asking these questions because when you look at how we operate, especially as Namibians, where we have a lot of things to fix, we spend most of the time correcting people on social media, correcting their English, or maybe correcting something that is not worth, to be corrected. But it's always very important to ask yourself this question to say, how much time do I spend per day? What do I spend this time doing? And how is this going to be useful to me in the next 10 years? Because this is where we also have to do, self-reflection and also self-evaluation. So, as I indicated earlier, we are here from the hour of 6 until 7:30. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is your economic conversational program. We are looking at what is happening internationally, regionally, and also what's happening at home. And this is not only a program where we deal with one-directed conversation, but it's also a program that we encourage dear listeners to contribute to the conversation. We encourage dear listeners to make sure that you are part of the conversation. You are part of everything which is brought on the table. And as we are always saying, for us to build stronger institutions, for us to have an advanced country, for us to get our economy at the right track, we need people of different views, we need different expertise, we need also people from different school of thoughts, because that is the only way that we'll come on one table and evaluate which ideas is useful, which one is the smart way of doing things. That's why we are saying, when we bring about this conversation, it could be that you are the person who has more experience in that field. It could be that you are a person who have a better and smart way of doing things. That's why it's always very crucial when you air your view, you air your opinion, and indeed, you don't know how much what you give at this platform will be able also to add to the development of this country. And yeah, apart from what we indicated about our economic conversation, we are indicating to say, as long as the statistics are not on our side, and when you talk about statistics, we look at international ranking. we look at issues of where we are according to international rating agency. I know there is a lot of people, especially some of the people who are in the policymaking, you know, sector, who say, no, look, some of this international ranking or some of these analysts are not really useful. But that is where we have to draw, you know, the picture that the world is looking at us. Because we are always talking about issues which are immediate issues, which need critical attention. Talk about energy, talk about employment rate. We talk about issues of food security, and what can we do as Namibians? What can we do as Namibians in order for us, to make sure that our country is on a different road, on a different productive road, and we don't repeat the same mistakes that we have done? And how can we do that? That's why the conversation is not necessarily only on policymakers or politicians or the government at large, but the conversation also going to you as an ordinary Namibian. What do you do for your country? What do you do for your constituency? What do you do for your region? What do you do for your nation? And apart from government, ordinary citizen, we also look at the private sector, businesses. What do you do for your country? Look at NGOs, we look at faith, faith organizations. Because in a broader context of development, in most cases, people like neglecting faith-based organizations. But you are part of the society, and indeed, we also have to ask this question to say, what do you do for the economic development of this country? What are your contribution to the well-being of this country? And how can you get involved? So, before we go to international news, and also local news, before we also table what we have on the table today. So it's very important to make sure that, as we have always been saying, make sure that you are up to date. Make sure that you are up to date with global, continental, and domestic news by liking our page, like Eagle FM Namibia, like our page Eagle FM Namibia. That is on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. When you like our page and share our page, you will make it easier for those who are following you to also have an opportunity to follow us. Then they will be updated when it's coming to global, continental, and indeed domestic economic news, news related to social development, and also news related to trade and food security. And apart from liking Eagle FM Namibia, we also have e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper that you can access to by just sending your name to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And when you do that, you'll be able to be sent that newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you are a researcher, you are a student of international relations, student of politics, economics, science, and all developmental-related courses, make sure that you use the Villager newspaper. It's your go-to-go newspaper that you can use. It's your go-to-go newspaper that you can use. And indeed, it's a newspaper that will also expand your research capabilities, will expand your horizons in terms of thinking, and it will also be a foundation to things that you are interested in, because research is driven by ideas that is being brought about. So make sure that you subscribe to the Villager newspaper, you download the Villager newspaper, and you become a good citizen. So apart from the Villager newspaper, we also, we have a beautiful app. That is, of course, Eagle FM app. There are always those who are asking to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Why can't we get the frequency? We are indicating to you that, as we have always been indicating to you, the world is moving, the world is evolving. The world is changing day by day. The world is changing every time. And understand that digital form of things is what is going to dominate the world. That's why we are saying we have Eagle FM app. Eagle FM app is a smart app that you can use by making sure that you go to your Play Store or your App Store. Download the Eagle FM app. Put it in your phone. And what is very interesting about Eagle FM app is that when you put it in your phone, the moment you open it, you automatically listen to the programs which are on air. And on top of that, you can also be able to catch up with previous programs by looking at podcast. Go to podcast and you will listen to those previous programs that you have missed. And it will make your life more easier because you can listen at your own pace, at your own time. Because if you find yourself in a position that the time your favorite program is being played on air, you are busy, you can also just, make sure that you note it down, then you come back to podcast, and that is, of course, through using Eagle FM app. The other thing is that you can also follow us online. You can also listen to us online. Just press in Eagle FM Namibia, press home, then you automatically listen to the programs which are on air. So, yeah, and before we come to the conversation for today, and before we go to international news and come to the conversation for today, we are always indicating to you to say we also have Imba app. That is the digital version of your hymn book in English, Oshiwambo, Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So in a situation where you are at the platform that require you to sing from a hymn book, but you do not have a hymn book hard copy, do not scratch your head, do not panic, don't run around and ask people or call people to assist you, because we got you just by making sure that you go to Play Store, App Store, download Imba app. When you download Imba app, you make your life easier, then you'll be able to access those hymn books in the language that you prefer, and you'll become a good citizen who understand what is coming and what is going, and who also working on time, or working at working together with time, because it's always very important to make sure that you know where the world is. It's always very important to make sure that you know where the world is, because if you are sleeping in this world of transformation, by the time you wake up, people are already 200 miles away from you. That's why when we are indicating to say digitalization of the world, using of Imba app, using of Eagle FM app, make sure that you are up to date and you're working together where other people are. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of 7:30. And yeah, let's go to a commercial break. Then from there, we can look at what we have at the international front. Then we can also see what do we have on the table for today. So, stay tuned, stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 7:30.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as I indicated earlier on, we are here until the hour of 7:30. And this is a platform where we discuss economic-related issues, global issues, and also issues which are affecting branded butter issue. So on this ground, let us look at international news. We are starting with Palestine. We are starting with Palestine. Yeah, it was indicated that around 100 Palestinians were killed in Israel strikes on Gaza. That is why they are waiting for food. That's happened now on Saturday, just in the weekend. Over 100 Palestinians were killed by the Israelis, military personnel who are waiting for food, because you understand that there is a crisis in Gaza Strip, especially the victims of war, especially women and children. And it is indicated that the tension between Hamas and also Israeli personnel has also intensified, especially when the Israelis are asking for the release of the hostage which were captured by Hamas. And this led to the situation that is, getting out of control. Every day, people are killed in Gaza because of, those tension. But let us look at what's happening.
Good evening and thanks for joining us. We begin tonight with the struggle to survive in Gaza. Officials there say more than 30 Palestinians were killed after Israeli troops fired on crowds seeking food from U.S. and Israeli-run aid centers, a situation that's unfolded many times in recent months. As Mackenzie Gray reports, that's just the surface of the suffering unfolding in the enclave. A warning, some of the content in this story is disturbing.
It's now a part of daily life in Gaza, the rush to get injured children care after continued Israeli strikes. Overwhelmed hospitals resort to putting the dead children on mattresses on the floor. A grieving mother holds their dead child, then takes one last look before they're taken away, piled onto the back of a truck with the others who've been killed. In total, over 100 people were killed on Saturday, according to the Hamas-run health agency, including 37 people near a food aid site in Rafah. They started shooting at us randomly, this man, whose relative was killed, said. We're tired. We witness death every day. This is the 10th relative I've lost from my family. This mother lost her 17-year-old daughter, who was killed after being hit by shrapnel while in the family's tent. Today was her birthday, the grieving mother said. She went all around to try and find a piece of bread. Despite the UN saying 875 people have been killed near food aid sites over the past 6 weeks, Palestinians still rush to try and get what food they can, desperate to not go hungry. The UN World Food Program says one in nearly three people in Gaza are not eating for days at a time. This man, whose son was just killed, laments that he used to weigh 120 kilograms. Now he's down to 85 from lack of food. In Israel, families of hostages held by Hamas made a direct appeal to U.S. President Donald Trump.
Mr. President, sir, we are counting on you. You brought back hostages before. Please do it again. We need your strength.
Hostages could be released soon, according to the president.
Gaza, we got most of the hostages back. We're going to have another 10 coming very shortly. And we hope to have that finished pretty quickly.
But a ceasefire and hostage return can't come quick enough for those Israeli families.
Yes, that is what's happening in Gaza. So what's happening in Gaza. Those tensions which can be traced back 60 years ago, and you know, just need to look at what's happening and also lessons to learn, especially when it's coming to conflicts, occupation, and also conflict related to land, ethnicity, and also issues of you know, tribalism. Because the other thing that we also need to look at is that what can we learn from global affairs? What can we learn from global affairs? How do you view other people in your own country, in your own village, at your own house? How do you view other people? Because at the end of the day, war is caused by human beings, how they view others, conflict based on properties, and also conflict related to also understandings and also religions. Because if it was not because of humankind, and also the thinking of human beings, it wouldn't be how it is as we are speaking. So look at your country. How do you view other people from other tribes? How do you view people who are not from your region? How do you view people who are not speaking the same language as you speak? And also, this does not only impact peace and stability, it also impact issues of trade and also the expansion of, you know, the economy, because there is always skepticism about how you deal with others who you think they are not how you are. So these are some of the things that we need to look at, and tracing back the history of the conflict of Israel and also the Palestinian in Gaza Strip, you also be able to understand the position of United Nations, the position of international criminal, you know, a court or court of justice. You also be able that to see that the president of, not the president, but the prime minister of Israel is given a warrant of arrest by international court of justice due to war against the Palestinian in Gaza Strip, and also the thinking or the legal explanation that there's a possibility of genocide which was committed in Gaza. And up to now, he's still on warrant of arrest by International Court of Justice. The question is that for how long is this going to be varied, and what are the measures going to be put in place? And looking at the history of Palestinians and also the Israel people, you also be able to see the position of African countries when it's coming to Israel and also Palestinians. You also be able to realize that South Africa took Israel to international court and laid charges against Israel due to their activities or due to their, you know, violence in Gaza. And the case was well handled or well accepted by International Court of Justice, where you have international judges which are indicating that there is wrongdoing which Israel is doing, and they should be held accountable for what they have done. So So it's very important to look at what's happening globally so that we can learn at home. So let us look at the commercial break, then we can look at what's happening in Africa.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe bali heari, nola natu heari bali no heari. Ile ko berewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Dear listeners, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. Let us look at continental news. What is happening in the continent? What is happening in the continent? What is happening in the continent? Yes, it was indicated that last Friday, or in the weekend, the M23 rebels signed a historical, ceasefire agreement in Doha, Qatar, with DRC government, and this is one of the developing story which is well accepted even by African Union Commission. So M23 rebels sign a peace agreement with DRC government. As you understand that particularly at the end of from the end of last year at the beginning of this year, where there have been intensive fights between DRC government fighters or DRC soldiers and also M23 rebels who were believed to be backed by Rwandan government. Around 3,000 people have been killed in a few months. 3,000 people have been killed and millions have fled their houses in DRC. Due to that conflict between M23 rebels and also DRC government soldiers. And it was also indicated that, on the 30th of January, after 1 week intensive fight between M23 rebels and DRC government soldiers, M23 have taken, in January of this year, have taken the city of Goma. This in the eastern side of DRC, one of the rich areas in terms of minerals, and people also were concerned. People were concerned, particularly in the SADC region, and also just a few weeks after capturing of Goma City, they also captured nearby towns in the eastern side of Bukavu, and it has alarmed a lot of SADC leaders, because this war is not only a war that was happening in DRC, it's a war with regional impact, it's a war which affected trade, it's a war also which caused, burden to countries due to, refugees flocking into countries. We have seen in Namibia, look at the statistics of, refugees in Namibia. Look at Osile statistics. Look at refugees in Angola, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and many other SADC regions, states. And you also be able to realize to say this war almost caused a regional conflict, where you also be able to understand that the president of Rwanda and also president of South Africa, they got into intensive war of words due to the context on the involvement of South Africa in the DRC war through SADC peacekeeping mission, and also the view that Rwanda was backing this M23 fighter. So, and looking at what have happened on Saturday, when after all the efforts of bringing these countries, bringing these fighting parties to the table, we'll be able to realize that this is one of the historic moments where a rebel leader, or a rebel chief negotiator, have to sit with the government officials to form a peace agreement, where in that peace agreement there is also the clause of exchange of prisoners and also restoration of peace in DRC. Now, the question that we also need to ask ourselves is, thinkers, writers, and also concerned citizens to say, is this the end of the DRC war? Is this the beginning of development in DRC? Is this the beginning of development? Or is this one of the tactics which have been happening? Because if you go back to the history of DRC, you also be able to realize to say, the conflict in DRC started long time ago. And for those of you who were also born by that time, from 1998 to early 2000, you will be able to realize to say there was also a conflict which related to the current conflict, where rebels also fought with DRC government, particularly that time of Laurent Kabila. And this conflict is also involvement of Namibia. You'll be able to realize to say some of our soldiers were sent to DRC, and a lot of people used to say, no, people were sent to Kabila. We were not really sent to Kabila, they were sent to DRC. And that time, the president of DRC was Laurent Kabila, the father of the former president of DRC, Joseph Kabila. And you realize to say, this war is not just an ordinary war. It's a war which is economic driven. It's a war which is economic driven because for the context, DRC, as we are speaking now, is one of the richest country in the world in terms of mineral deposit. That is what statistics are saying. One of the richest countries in the world in terms of mineral deposit. There is nothing that you can find around the world that is not under the ground of DRC. Talk about oil, talk about diamonds, talk about cobalt, talk about coltan, you talk about gold, everything DRC has it. However, it's also one of the poorest countries in the world, and its citizens, majority of the citizens of DRC are living in extreme poverty. And there's a lot of economic inequality, there's a lack of basic needs, and with a population of more than 100 million, you also be able to realize to say something need to be done, something need to be done, and one will also be able to realize to say how many countries are benefiting from DRC conflict, how many countries are benefiting from DRC conflict, or what can richness of resources can do for your country. Because it's one thing to have minerals, it's also the other thing also to handle those minerals. Because if you look at a country with a population of more than 100 million people, but its current economic state is going down, when you look at statistics, I remember got into the conversation with Dr. Gerson Sendan, who stated that, look, the underground mineral deposit of DRC is between 25 to over $30 trillion. $25 to $30 trillion. That is in US dollars. $25 to over $30 trillion. It's not million, it's not billion, it's trillion US dollars, which is equivalent to the economy of United States. It's equivalent to the economy of United States. And however, in terms of distribution of resources, in terms of management of resources, everybody is fighting for his own bread. Now, before we look at the agreement, let us also ask ourselves these questions to say, what can we learn from this as a country? What can we learn from this as a country? Because when you look at where Namibia is, and that is not what everybody is wishing, not at all. But when you look at the resources that we have, and you look at the economic inequality that we have, then you look at how people behave, either in the oil sector, in the diamond sectors, everywhere, you also be able to realize, to say, what can we do as Namibians to avoid this, unbecomings, and also to save our country? Because there is always a saying to say, when one man is falling, do not laugh, but learn, because your time will come, and you must learn from that person. And the other thing also, when you look at this agreement, you also be able to realize to say, in terms of African Continental Free Trade Area, it could be, if that peace is maintained, it could be one of the major factor which can contribute to the realization of African Continental Free Trade Area. Because at the center of good trade is peace and stability. At the center of good trade is peace and stability. And DRC being one of the countries in SADC, and also connecting the north, east, and also south of Africa, is a route that can be used to expand trade and also to generate currency and do business. Because when you look at what Namibia is trading with DRC, although there is no specific trade balance or trade statistics, you will be able to realize to say Namibia is buying minerals from DRC, and we also sell fish to DRC, and has been one of our partners or our good friend in terms of diplomacy. And with that expansion of trade, and also the realization of African Free Trade Area, would be the factor that will be a positive outcome when this peace is realized. So let us look at how these two conflicting institutions or two conflicting sides sign an agreement, and for how long this historical ceasefire agreement will last.
Very important and
الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى.
I would like to welcome all of you in this very important and historical event that we are witnessing today in the DRC.
The government of the Democratic Republic of Congo and the Rwanda-backed M23 rebels have agreed on a series of principles to end fighting in the east of the country. The parties signed the agreement in Doha after months of talks mediated by Qatar and the United States. It commits both sides to sign a peace deal within a month. Thousands of people have been killed and displaced since January.
The two parties emphasize through this agreement that includes a number of articles in the Declaration of Principles their commitment to a permanent ceasefire and cessation of violence and attacks and working on building trust through various measures, including clear mechanisms related to prisoner and detainee exchange, as well as taking steps towards a comprehensive agreement that ensures the restoration of state authority over all its territory.
If we want to focus on the past three decades, we know that these people in this region have suffered greatly. There have been losses of lives that passed 6 million victims, and a large number of refugees and displaced people, around 8 million currently between displaced people and refugees. There is a real humanitarian tragedy that is very painful. There's no doubt that it's time to find a final solution to this issue.
Let's take a look at how we got here. In January, the DRC cut diplomatic ties with Rwanda because of its support for the M23 rebels. Accusations Kigali denies. Later that month, the M23 seized the biggest city in the eastern DRC, Goma. In February, it took Bukavu, another major hub. And in March, the presidents of the DRC and Rwanda met in Doha. The meeting ended with a joint call for an immediate ceasefire. In April, the two sides signed an agreement in Washington, pledging to stop supporting armed groups. Alain Wekani reports from Goma now in eastern DRC.
The trust of the population here is standing on two bases. The first one is because Doha succeeded where majority of leaders in the region failed. We have seen Angola failed, and also even the East Africa, they failed to put the two groups together. This is why people are saying at least by putting this government and the M23 IFC together, it's already a big success right now. But there is already a confusion. We have to mention it very clearly. The government is already talking about the withdrawal of the rebels from the area. And then no rebels are saying this is not among this declaration of the principle. It's showing already how sensitive also is this situation. But at least on the ground, from now on, population are trying to see in the following 10 days, as the principle itself is saying, that the party has to put into action what was signed so that they may go deeper now into negotiation between them and the government. This is already a big success because at least in the country, people knows that M23 rebels IFC will be now talking directly to the government of DRC, because this is what they have been always asking, saying that they have the root causes of the conflict which need to be resolved, and this should have only happened in a dialogue because the force cannot help at all to resolve this situation.
Yes, we are continuing with Nery Morning Scoop that you got it yourself. And looking at, just before we go to what we have on the table today, looking at what have happened in Doha, Qatar, one will also be able to say that African countries, African Union, East African Community, SADC, Angola, which was the main diplomat to solve this conflict, all these countries have failed to bring peace within DRC. They have tried, but they have failed. Then the question that you need to ask yourself is that how come African problems was only solved when somebody has to travel to the Middle East or to countries such as Qatar? Why is that? Because there is always something that you need to ask yourself. Why did this country have so much interest in DRC? Remember, when you look at countries like United Arab Emirates, when you look at Qatar, when you look at Saudi Arabia, these are the business people, and these are the guys who are interested in making money. But what are they benefiting from solving the conflict in Africa, which even African Union Commission, which even the SADC region was failing to do that? What made this country to be a chief negotiator in this regard? Is there economic interest behind, or it's just pure, you know, diplomacy, which is needed. Because at the end of the day, these rebels are going to speak with the government and they're going to come on one table. It also could be they will also be required to sit on one table and can also be required to share a power in the future, because solving a conflict through a peace treaty or signing of a peace agreement, one will also be able to realize, to say, you recognize the other party and also recognize that you are going to work together. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is that, why do we have to run outside the continent when we want to solve our problems? Is this going to be a long-term and sustainable solution for the benefit of the African people? Or is it just a temporary agreement to pursue one's interest? It's something that we really need to ask ourselves, to say, why we always need to wait for somebody to come from outside to help and solve our problems, that which we cannot solve ourselves. But yeah, what you also need to remember is that, very interestingly, because now you look at the leadership of the conflicting party, then you also start to see what is the connection between these people who are also heading this party which now formed agreement. So when you look at President of DRC, which is President Tshisekedi, when he was elected to power, Corneille Nanga was the chief electoral officer. In fact, he was heading the electoral commission of DRC when the current president of DRC was in power. But after that, he became one of the prominent leaders of the rebel group. Then you need to ask yourself, what kind of democracy is that? Imagine a head of ECN immediately forming another, joining another fighting party against the party which is in power. And it's very interesting also to see how fragile is democracy. In not only in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but in African continent. And how can we strengthen that? And why do we always have conflict in mineral-rich countries? Look at Mozambique, then you can also analyze. And the most important thing, what can we learn from this? Because the case study of a country should not end with a country. It also should end with you as an individual to say, why are things the way they are? Why is it so difficult to equally distribute the economy of the country? Who is involved? Who is benefiting when me and my siblings, me and my village people are fighting? Who is benefiting from this? Because the moment you realize that, it's also easier for you to address that issue. So, dear listeners, let's go to a commercial break. Then from there, we will look at what we have on the table for today. What do we have on the table for today? So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 7:30. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And yeah, we are here until 7:30.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarude kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanoza Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. It's 58 minutes in the hour of 6. And we have around 30 minutes there before we come to the end of our conversation. And yeah, the conversation for today, we are going to look at what has been concluded last week. As you understand that the whole of last week Namibia has been hosting international conference on cybersecurity. How should we protect our houses? How should we protect our workplaces? How should we protect our businesses? And also, how should we protect our country, particularly in this digital world, in the world of digital, advancement? And it's always very important also to try and contextualize this, because I realize that it's very crucial, especially when it's coming to cyber security issues. It's very crucial for an ordinary Namibian to understand what is cyber security, what is a cyber attack, and what are some of the forms of cyber attack. How can you protect yourself from this, highly advanced criminals that are using online format to access your information and also to steal your data and use it to their advantage. So let's go to a commercial break. We're going to look not only into statistics but into mechanisms on how to protect ourselves and institutions.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills,
feeding the nation. Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and today we are looking at cybersecurity and domestic security. Yeah, one of the things that a human being must have is safety, protection from physical harm, emotional harm, and indeed, as the world is evolving, protection from digital attack. So digital attack may look like it's not a very immediate thing. However, listening to the conversation of the expert, trying to understand the advanced world, trying to understand the market that is in cyber, security, you also be able to realize to say this is something that countries like Namibia have been neglected for a long time. These are some of the things that need to be integrated, not only in the national security, but also in education curriculum, because remember when you look at incidents like what have been happening in Namibia, I like referencing the BON Financial Stability Report, which stated that even if the economy of Namibia was going to be resilient and also be able to be stable, the whole of 2025 is going to be with a lot of cyber attack incidents. When you talk about cyber attack incidents, it's somebody hacking your phone, somebody hacking your computer, or somebody without your permission stealing your information from you and use them to make money, either to ask ransom from you or to ask money so that this person cannot expose your information, or to sell that information to other companies that can use it against you. And one of the things that was stated before we come to how an ordinary citizen can protect himself from these cyber attack issues, how you can protect your smaller business, especially the SMEs, they are the most victims of these cyber attacks because of their lack of awareness, because of their lack of understanding, and their lack of security measures on how to protect their either financial information, information of their employees, information about the business operations, and also to protect or cover information about their investment. That's why at the end of the day, I will start agreeing, like what Mr. De Jong have said, the head of FNB SME sector, who indicated that although a majority of SMEs are open in Namibia, 60% of those ones, they close in the first 3 months. Could it be because some of them could not protect themselves against competition, which is based on access of information through unauthorized techniques, which can also delay the progress of business and can also make that business to lose money. To simplify it, let us start with the IT and data information system security manager of MVA Fund has stated. One has to realize that when Miss Lydia Maruasa stood and speak at Namibia International Conference on Cyber Security, when she stood up and speak, she indicated that cyber security should not be just a mere compliance, but should be a priority. And especially Namibia SOEs, they do not prioritize, or they need to prioritize cybersecurity, because why? They are dealing with public information. They are dealing with citizens' information, such as you give your ID number, you give information about your residence, you give information about your age, you give information about many other things, particularly when it's coming to signing of contracts, signing of investment agreement, signing of those business agreements, purchasing something. SOEs, they require information. However, there is few to no budget directed to cyber security. Why cybersecurity? When somebody is an expert in cybersecurity, this is a person whose sole responsibility is to protect the organization information, protect the organization from being attacked, and also protect the employees and also clients of that organizations, to make sure that their informations are protected, to make sure that their information are in their safe hands. Because if this information are not protected, it could worsen the situation. It could also cause damage of the organizational reputation and the loss of money, and also can also cause emotional damage. Because imagine somebody know about ID number is different. Somebody know about your ID number. He knows where you live. He knows he knows your wife. He knows your husband. He knows how many kids you have. He knows your secrets, how many loans, how many debts you have, and all these things, and also what you like and what you don't like. Because this information can be analyzed and can be used against you. And this person, if the person knows all the things about you, it's easy for the person to come and attack you. It's easy for a person to come and withdraw money from your account, because he has all the information. He has all the information. And that's why most of the things which happen, particularly the crime related issues, you realize to say some of these criminals have all identity information, or the personal information about an individual, which could not have been accessed if cybersecurity is prioritized. If I have to take you to the speech of Biri Serekani, for example, who stated that yearly per year Africa is losing Africa is losing between 4 to 10 billion US dollars. That is per year due to cybercrime. That is number one. So when Africa is losing between 4 and 10 billion US dollars per year, one also will be able to realize to say, how are we protecting our country? And what are the systems in place? Interestingly, while Namibia was busy hosting a cyber security conference, Chuarongo municipality was hacked. Some people enter the system of that. Some people enter the system of Chuarongo municipality, took data, took information, then communicating with the municipality to say, pay us this amount of money. If not, we are going to release this information. Now we are still waiting for Gren to come and explain to us to what extent this was happening, to what extent this have caused damage, whose information is taken away, and how safe is my information, even with municipality of Windhoek, for example. How safe are my information? What is the investment of Windhoek municipality in terms of cyber security? Now, the experts are indicating to say, when an organization, when a company, when a business, when a government is attacked by cyber criminals, these people have been already in your system for 3 months. When you see the outcome, when you see the symptoms, these people have been already in your system for more than 3 months. Now, the question is that, how do we simplify the complicated cyber issues? How do we simplify the complicated cyber issues to an ordinary person, to an ordinary Namibian who is running a business or even employee? Because one of the things which was mentioned is that in most cases, cyber incidents and the stealing of information happen due to human factor. And when we talk about human factor, we talk about you or me using, for example, my personal Facebook account in a work computer. I do not have a strong password, because that's why there's already things to say, put on a strong password. I don't have a strong password. I use my personal Facebook account with work computer. Because the expert indicated that even if you have a very strong security system, when you have employees, when you have business partners who are not oriented in cyber security incidents, there is a high chance that they can be used as a gate to make sure that your system is infiltrated. They can be used as a gate to make sure that your system is infiltrated. And apart from that, they say, as much as we like to have physical security, we like to close our doors, we like to make sure that our gates are closed, we like to make sure that we lock our cars and all those things, let us not forget the version of digital environment, because you can have your wallet with all your banking cards, you have your cards in there, but you forget that you left your computer at home open and without any security. People can go in there and also remove anything that they want. Yeah, that's why there is a saying to say, small businesses, larger businesses, government should and must prioritize cybersecurity. Because one lady stood up and I was so shocked. And she gave a very brilliant presentation. I have never seen that presentation before. She gave a very brilliant presentation to say, Africans, we are behind. And that is Bwalya Chiteta Chansa. It's a lady from Zambia. And she's one of the experts in cybersecurity. Ms. Chansa, what she indicated is to say, currently, as you are speaking, Africa is at war, not at physical war, but at war against, cyber criminals, international institutions. I mean, international criminals infiltrating the system. And she gave a very brilliant presentation to say, as you have physical trained soldiers, it's also very important for you to have well-trained people in cybersecurity. who had trained people in cybersecurity, because it's going to be pointless, because the world is so advanced to that extent that what you do in your physical format, to say you have soldiers, we have people who are protecting the country, you have those who are gathering information about possibility of criminals entering the country, you have those who are infiltrating your system. You say, as much as countries like to invest in their defense for territorial integrity, it's also very important for these countries to invest in their cyber security. When you have cyber security, you have a country with a center responsible to respond when an incident has happened. You detect and respond. In Namibia, yes, we have CREN, which is Namibia Incident Response Team. But the question that you're asking yourself, to what extent these people are trained, and how are they going to protect us? And what do we have as ordinary Namibian? How do we understand cyber-related issues? And when you also listen to the presentation of this expert from other countries, to say, you realize to say, we have lost so much. We have lost so much already, and we need not to make sure that we continue losing this. That's why what we need to do is to educate ourselves as ordinary Namibian. How do we handle ourselves online? Just do this. You are running a business. You have a Facebook account. People, a lot of people are communicating to you via Facebook and WhatsApp. But ask yourself this: what is your password? And I was so shocked. And I was so shocked when experts gave a presentation to say, no, some of you, your passwords is just your name, or the name of your dog, your name of your loved ones, or password 8123, or some of your passwords are very weak. They are very weak to that extent that when they are weak, every person can have opportunity to get into. They get into your system, use your account, ask people for money. That's why we always find ourselves to say, no, my account is being hacked, my account is being hacked. But sometimes it was indicated that it's us who are giving this information. It's also very important also to make sure that we double check our password. We are so cautious enough, as long as we are cautious enough with physical threat, we are so cautious enough with, our digital threats, because it may look like it's not your business. But when you look at the numbers that people are losing, when you look at the damage that people have caused, when you look at how many people lost their money. And what is very interesting is that the statistics are indicating that 96% of cyber incidents is not reported. It's like somebody botched you. Somebody botched you, or you met a con artist who took your money. You will not say it out because you will not say it out because it will look like you are not smart enough. But it was stated to say, if somebody scam you, or you lost your information, speak it out so that you can have a better strategy. And the other thing is also that human error in organizations, in business, and also in government, for us to have a basic understanding of computer related stuff, or understanding of a digital world. Because the question which I asked earlier on is that how much do we spend time, how much do we spend most of our time doing? And maybe also to look at, to say, what is the use of a cell phone? Is it TikTok, WhatsApp, gossiping, and sending text here and there? Just to be honest with ourselves as Namibians, to say, we got this great, innovation that we contribute less about, but we have much to learn from the phones and cell phones that we are using, and computers, to say, how should I understand this gadget which I got, and what is the danger of this gadget? What is my engagement on social media? Because sometimes we are on social media, we are too excited, then we expose everything that we are doing to that extent that somebody can just come and take everything from us, with us giving them information without knowing that we give them information. We give our true date of birth, We give the names of our dog, the names of our kids. We give everything. And those who understand algorithm were able to predict your passwords just by the bring on an eye of an eye. Then by the time we wake up, we are defeated. Now, apart from individual, because it was indicated that in most cases it's human error, apart from individual being, being one of the main contributing factor to be, not really to say to be hacked, but to be a victim of cyber crime, it's also a matter of education. When I was sitting there, I realized to say, guys, we have a lot of things to work on. We have a lot of things to work on. It's not a matter of being paranoid or whatsoever, but we have a lot of things to work on because in this fast-growing world, in this fast-evolving world where digital information, data, evolution of data and the importance of data science is a main priority, we have a lot to learn at a fast pace. At the same time, we also have, to cater for our basic needs. And I was so happy to see, the Deputy Inspector General of Namibian Police who stayed there. I think the whole conference every day, she's there. Every single day, she's there. And I was very happy because, in my view, I think she has seen the importance of this, conference. And also, it's everybody's wish to say, let us not be, as a country, let us not be the dumping sign of the whole world and also the extraction site of the whole world. So, prioritization of cyber security and also expansion of knowledge in that area. And the other thing also when Miss Chiteta Chasa was giving her presentation, she indicated to say compare cyber war with physical war. Then the question which I ask ourselves is to say, if on this ground you compare cyber war with physical war, is technological infrastructure a factor? That is a question I ask to say. Is technological infrastructure a factor? Because it's one thing to understand, cyber security, and it's also one thing to train people on cyber security. But is the other thing also to have advanced infrastructure to protect your country, your business, and also yourself? Because it's one thing to have well-trained soldiers, but if you are using the weapons of 1975, while people are using F-35, backup busters, droppers, and drones, you will never win that war. That's why, in terms of where we are going, I think we need to make sure that especially those who are in charge of policy making, to make sure that in terms of educational curriculum, technological understanding should not be an option, because that's the way the world is going. It should not be an option. Students should not just learn basic computers. They must learn as other countries are doing. When in Japan, when in Singapore, when in the US, when even in Rwanda, in part of South Africa, children at younger age are learning coding, the computer language, what is how computer communicates, as we are still dancing outside, prioritizing physical, other activities, or singing about ghost stories. But we need to make sure that at least we prioritize the priorities, because that is the only way that we are going to survive. Because we can have a good plans about ourselves, especially now that the government is speaking up. But if you are ignoring what is happening around us, we will never survive, and it will never be good. So Dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We have around 6 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. And today we are talking about cyber security and also domestic security. We look at what can we do to protect ourselves as personal information, business information, and also what can we do to make sure that we prepare the future generation to this fast changing world. So let's go to a commercial break, then we can come on the table.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever.
Yes, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are talking about cyber security and domestic security. Let us look at a few statistics, especially regarding SMEs, because our question has always been, how is small businesses fit into this space of, those bombastic word of cyber security, cyber crime, cyber defending, and all those things. Statistics are saying shortage of specialist skills. Shortage of specialist skills in cyber security, which means that if you are a student now studying computer or studying IT, make sure that you prioritize cyber security because there's a lot of options. You will not stay at home if you study cyber security. That is option number one. It stated that 96% of IT teams in small and medium-sized operation organization find security, a challenge, or security prioritization challenging. The other thing is also lack of 24/7 coverage. It's indicated that 33% of the time, small and medium enterprise have no one actively monitoring, investigating, or responding to alerts, because sometimes you are at home. You leave your attack shop with your open computer. You do not even know who is in your system. What are the funny movements moving around? Where people are doing already transactions, all those things. So that is one thing that need to be looked at. And it's also stated that 74% of SMEs find it very difficult to invest, to choose which security to invest in. Are you investing in physical security? Are you investing in cyber security? And yeah, so and the other thing, or the last thing, is also that...
Have you recently turned 18 years of age? Or did you miss the previous voter registration process? Or did you move to a new constituency after the last voter registration? Then this is your chance to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This process is for eligible Namibian citizens who need to register as a voter for the first time or have relocated from one constituency to another, or who now qualify to vote in the local authority elections. Your civic duty is calling. Answer it. Get involved. Step up. Register to vote.
Yes, the other thing is also ignoring of general security measures, particularly at strategic level, because as far as you have somebody who is at the human resource sitting at the strategic level, you must also have somebody at the strategic level who understands cyber security, not only risk management in general, but cyber security, so that at least we are going to be safe, and also our businesses, our SOEs, particularly SOEs, should not continue losing our information. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to EMS. For now, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Choveri with Unpacking the Day with me, David Shombe. Thank you, and bye-bye for now.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had...
I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kabuna imatina omjo chikao shafathana na nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao otaingongotisa mwene
anangeshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa nawa olonjika. Tseithane na omayakuro nirandithomwa yoe yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tiimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara hetatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniari. Eagle FM, the eye. No matter.